Well, this morning, church, our Bibles are pre-marked once again to John chapter number 14. But before we get there, once again, I just want to keep reminding us of our theme that's going to, has been carrying us from the beginning of the year, and that will carry us at least through the general church meeting. And that theme is that we're preparing the church for the next move of God. We're preparing the church for the next move of God. There is always a move of God in every dispensation of time. There is always a move of God in every dispensation of time, and God always desires to do something. He always desires to do something. And we are, in fact, in a period where there's going to be a change in leadership within From the Heart Church Ministries worldwide. There's a changing in dispensation, and that changing in dispensation is ushering in the next move of God. It's ushering in the next move of God, and the next move of God is for God's glory, and it's also for our benefit. And so we want to be excited about what's going to transpire in the general church meeting. I had the privilege of speaking with Bishop Cherry on Friday afternoon, and he was excited. And he was getting me excited, and he says everything is going to be well, everything is going to be great. And they saying that the parent church, they are in fact excited. He wanted us to be excited, and so I want us to be excited, because what is transpiring is for God's glory. And guess what, church? Is for your benefit. Amen. And so because there's something that God wants to do in you, there's something that God wants to do through you. So as we begin to look at preparing the church for the next move of God, I want us to understand that we're not going to be able to accomplish what God is going to have us to do next if we do not mature, if we do not change, and if we do not grow. Let me say that again. Whatever God wants to do next with us, we're not going to be able to accomplish it if we do not mature, if we do not change, and if we do not grow. Because what begins to happen is that when the next move of God comes, God is looking to promote us. God is looking to promote you. And when he talks about promoting you, he talks about, you know what comes with promotion? Well, not money this time, but what he's looking to, he's looking for additional responsibility. He's looking for a different responsibility and a greater level of productivity. That's where growth comes in. But nevertheless, we also realize and understand is if we're going to be prepared for the next move of God, we have to leave that which is, in fact, familiar. What that means, church, is that whenever we have a desire to grow and whenever we have change to come, we cannot depend upon familiar knowledge. We just can't depend upon familiar knowledge, because change is always going to move us forward, and change is always going to take us outside of our comfort zone. Change is always going to move us forward. It's going to always move us outside of our comfort zone, outside of that which is, in fact, familiar. And change is always going to require us to not depend upon familiar knowledge. See, because if I hang on to the, if I start to depend upon familiar knowledge, I'm going to find myself missing the next move of God. I'm going to find myself not changing. I'm going to find myself not changing. But nevertheless, we have to leave that which is comfortable. Church, we have to leave that which is comfortable. See, we're looking at change. And the thing about change is, listen, change is never comfortable. Change for the better is never comfortable. Change for the better is never comfortable. And oftentimes, change for the better, in many respects, can be, it's just not comfortable, because we like to hold on to where we are. But if where we are is not where we want to be, and we want change, we just have to realize that change is, in fact, possible. Change for the better is, in fact, possible. But what's going to happen is that you just can't depend upon what you know now. And not only that, is that you have to be willing. You have to be willing to move forward out of your comfort zone. We also understand that we're going to leave that which is, in fact, secure. To leave that which is, in fact, secure. And so by now, we know why we're here. We know that we have been made for God's purpose. For it is God that has made us and not we ourselves. And we are, in fact, the sheep of his pasture. And God has made us for himself. I mean, just think about that. The reason that you're here in the earth right now is because God wanted you here in the earth right now, and he wants to use you. Come on, church. That's a powerful thing. God says, I want to use you, and I want to use you during these times. And these are some crazy times that we find ourselves living in. And even in the midst of these crazy times, I want you to know that God knew that these crazy times would be, but even though he knew that these times would be, he always had you and I in his heart. And he knew that he wanted us here in the midst of these crazy times because God wants to use you and I in the midst of these crazy times to do a tremendous work in and on his behalf. See, because we can begin to realize and understand is that God is not in the earth working now. And what he has to work through in the earth now is his church, the body of Christ. And so that be us. See, and so that be us. And so he said, now listen, see, I have systematically assembled you all together by the orchestration of my Holy Spirit, meaning that you have been systematically, you just have not been thrown together. You have just not been thrown together. He says, this has been systematically done. You didn't walk through the doors by happenstance. You were drawn here. It wasn't a mistake and it wasn't an accident. You may have come here because you watched the television broadcast of the service. It wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't by accident that something pricked your heart to draw you here. You've been systematically assembled together by the orchestration of the Holy Spirit for these times. And guess what, church? In this place. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about in this geographical location. Now, the way I got here and the way Sister Stark and I got here was not by happenstance. Even though we think it was, but when I go back and look at it, it wasn't by happenstance. See, because if I were to go back 20 years ago, and then even go back to 2006, and we came here in 2008, it wasn't by happenstance. And even if it was the God that moved upon the heart of the Episcopal pastor in his wise judgment as being authority over the church, said this is it and this is now, it wasn't by happenstance. Are we here together, church? And so the Lord wants us to know that there's a work to do. He says, you know why you're here. You're not a mistake. And you're here to meet a need. And you're the answer to somebody's prayer. You're the answer to somebody. There's somebody that has been praying. And there's some people in this geographical location. And we can draw a big circle because we have members all the way almost to the Tennessee border. All the way west over to the Alabama border. We got folks all the way south. I don't know what border. And even going all the way east. But there's some people that have been praying. And guess what? You're the answer to their prayer. You're the answer to their prayer. So there's no reason for us to have low self-esteem. Come on, church. See, nobody else may want us, but the God that made us, sure enough want us. And he wanted us so badly that he came to see about us. Come on now. When we were lost, alienated, and shut off from him, and he was no longer he wasn't even anywhere close to our thoughts and in our minds, he sent somebody across our path to come and get them. He came to get you. We were estranged from him, but he came to get you. He may have sent somebody down the street to come and get you. You may have bumped into somebody's rear end, and in the midst of the accident, they gave you the good news of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, however he had to do it, he came to get you. Because he's that big of God, and there's no one that's out of his purview. There's nothing that he doesn't know about any of us. Every hair on our head is numbered. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, you're not a mistake. I wanted you here, and I wanted you here now because I want to work with you. I want you to work with me, and I want to work through you, and I want to do a tremendous work in the earth because there's somebody that's hurting. There's somebody that's crying. There's somebody that's looking for their life to be changed and their situation to be changed. And I'm no longer in the earth, but I need to reach them, and the only way I can reach them is through you. You can save somebody's natural life. Not just their spiritual life, but their natural life. And so therefore, church, we have been working with our third objective in this particular theme, and that is, is to fulfill the purpose. We know why we're here. We know who we are as a church. And now we're getting down to the doing. And we do out of who we are. We're from the heart. And as we are, in fact, from the heart, all we do is from our hearts. We love God from our heart. And we hate what sin is doing, not only to us and what it's doing to our families and our neighborhoods and our community. And so, therefore, we love to give. Because the reason that we give is we give to eradicate the sin in people's lives so that they can, in fact, be free. So that they can, in fact, be all that God has created them to be and do all God has, in fact, sent them to do. One of the most hurtful things is to watch people that are not able to fulfill their potential because of sin. And you can look at people and they have so much potential. There's so much that they can achieve. But because of this thing called sin, that they're not able to do it and they're bound and they don't know that they can be made free. We also understand that we're from the heart. We believe the word of God. We believe that it contains everything necessary for our salvation. And we believe that there's no issue that the scripture does not cover. We believe that. That thing is settled. We preach God's word. Because it's the gospel is the power of God unto salvation and restoration of people's lives. We believe that. We believe in networking ourselves together such that we can network our resources spiritually, naturally, and financially together. Guess what? So that we can keep preaching. Because church is coming down to a time now where the church is not popular, even though we're carrying the right message and the message that people need. And it's becoming more and more difficult to preach the gospel. And we know that what happens is that we need to hear what God has to say. See, because it's God that has made us, and therefore it's God that's going to fix us. And the way that he fixes us is by his spirit according to his word. Or according to his word by his spirit. And so we know that God's word is able to change us. It's God's word that's able to change things and to turn things around. That thing is settled in our hearts. If we don't do anything, we're going to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach the word of God because it's the power to change. It's the power to restore, to heal, and to make whole. We're going to be at the forefront of reforming the church. What that means, church, we're going to lift up a standard of righteousness. We're going to lift up a standard of righteousness. It's not going to be popular. Righteousness is not popular. But the power of God is manifested in righteousness. And we're going to look at that this morning. And nevertheless, our motivation is love. That's all it is. It's love. And love motivates us to seek and to save the lost. Those that are, in fact, seeking for truth, searching for answers. Those that are, in fact, hurting. They're void of purpose, void of proper direction. They're basically come down to the bottom line. They're looking for help. They want to be better. They want to do better. And they want to be the best that they can be. We also understand that we're here to destroy the works of the adversary. What that means is that we're not going to let anything or anyone create a wedge between us. See, that's the work of the devil, is to separate us from God and separate us from each other. You know, that's how folks win battles. They create division. But see, as long as we're together with God and together with each other, we cannot lose. We cannot lose. And so we fight against the devil and the tricks of the devil. Not going to separate us. What so-and-so said, I don't care. Matter of fact, don't even tell me what they said. I don't even need to know. Church, there's some things I just don't need to know. And there's some things I don't even want to know. No, really. Some things I don't even want to know. See, I just want to look at you as being the holy person that you are right now. I don't need to know anything else. I just know you as you are right now. That's all I need to know. And that's really all I want to know. Are we yet together? And then lastly, we're here to leave a deposit in the earth for the next generation. We're here to leave a deposit in the earth for the next generation because we understand that we're just part of the relay. See, you and I are just part of the relay, and so we have the baton now. But we're going to have to hand off this baton to the next leg. And we want to hand off the baton for the next leg, but we don't want them to be in last place when we give them the baton. Are we here together, church? And so we want to make sure that we put them in a position where they can go on and run their race so that they can begin to pass off the baton to those that are coming behind them. See, because what God is doing, it's a building block process. But what happens as a church, we can't get consumed just in the right now. Our life is not meant just for the right now. Our life is meant to be a deposit. It's an investment to produce a return, not for us, but for those that are coming behind us. Are we here together, church? See, that's going to be the story, not how we lived. That's not the story. The story is how those that came behind us lived. So what good would it do for us to consume everything and we left them in a hole? And we knew that we didn't come to stay. We knew that we were here on an assignment from God. We knew that our purpose has to do with him using us for this time, not for us to consume everything upon ourselves, but prepare those that are coming behind us because he's building something. Are we together, church? And so we know who we are. And so if we would know and accept who we are, we know what we need to do. We know what we need to do. Are we together? And so therefore, let's go to John chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 7. Watch what it says here. Jesus is talking with the disciples. He said, now, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. He's talking to the disciples. He said, now, if you know me, you know my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him. And you have seen him. Then Philip said unto him, Lord, well, show us the Father. I don't recall having seen him. And it would be sufficient. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast not thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, Philip is saying, well, how can that be? I'm looking at you and you said, I'm seeing your Father. But I've never seen your Father, so I don't know if you resemble your, you know, physically, I don't know. You know, I don't know if he was as short as you, tall as you. You know, I don't know. I haven't. What you talking about, Jesus? Jesus then begins to say, believest thou not that I am in my Father, in the Father, and the Father in me? Do you not believe that? The words that I speak unto you, I not speak of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He's doing the work that you see. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. If you can't believe that, just check out the works. See, because what I want you to know that the works that you are ascribing to me that's being done is being done by my Father that is in me. Then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I'm doing, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And so therefore, church, I just want to remind us that we're continuing our series entitled Doing the Works of Christ. Doing the works of Christ. Jesus is talking to the early church, and as he's talking to the early church, he's also talking to us. And what he's talking to us is that we have to understand. We know why we're here. We have been made for God's purpose. And we know that we are, in fact, the church. And it's through the church that God's will is, in fact, done. We are, in fact, here for God to use to change people's lives so that they can, in fact, maximize and fulfill their full potential, be all that God has created them to be. We know that. But the Lord is saying, now what we have to do the works. And Jesus is saying, guess what? You're going to do greater works than I did. You're going to do greater works than I did. See, you're going to cause people to, you know, you're going to cause people to live a life. You're going to cause people to live a life that they never expected to live. Not only are they going to do it, guess what, church? The transition is about, the next move of God is about for God's glory and for our benefit. Well, guess what? The Lord wants you to live a life. He wants you to live a life that you have not yet lived. And he wants you to live a life that makes a difference eternally. To make a difference eternally. But here's the thing. Jesus has given the disciples some instructions and directions and an assignment to carry out. But he knew that when he gave them the instructions to go out and preach what he had been teaching them, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he knew when he gave them the assignment that they were not going to be able to go out and carry it out just as they were. They needed something. They needed something. For them to do the works that were being done through Jesus, they couldn't do it out of human effort, out of human strength. Church, we cannot do the will of God out of human effort and human strength. Whatever God, the will of God cannot be done out of human effort and human strength. The will of God cannot be done out of human effort and human strength. And so whatever we are doing, if we believe that it is the will of God and we're doing it out of a human effort and human strength, it's probably not the will of God. His will cannot be done out of human effort and human strength. We need help. We need help, just as the early church needed help. But when we talk about these works, this work is about getting what's on the inside of us, or to cause what's in us to be in the heart of the unbeliever. That's what Jesus was talking about in verse number 11. See, these works are supposed to cause you to believe something. The works that I'm doing is to cause you to believe on the Father that you can't see, but does exist. And so what our works are is to get what's in us into the unbeliever. To get Jesus that's in us into the unbeliever. So that they can, in fact, be who God created them to be and do what God called them to do. So that they can live an extraordinary life, a distinctively different life, to live a better life. I mean, think about your family and think about your neighborhood and the folks in the community and those types of things. And I know we all have some folk. See, if it's not in the family, it's definitely in the neighborhood. We all have some folk. But when we look at the folks, we have to realize and understand that God loves them, and they have value and worth to them, and God has sent them into the earth, and they're here to do something. And what they're here to do may actually benefit you. May actually benefit you. But see, what happens is that what's going to happen is that they have to have what's in you in them. And so now we have to determine, how do I get what's in me in them? Are we together? See, we have to do the works of Christ. See, that's what Christ was doing when he was walking the earth. What he was doing, he was getting what's in him into the unbeliever. I mean, understand this. When Jesus came into the earth to take on his earthly ministry, Jesus left his heavenly advantages in heaven. Philippians lets us know that he came and he made himself of no reputation, even though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and came as a servant, and he chose to live this earthly ministry the way you and I would have to live. So when we talk about Jesus doing greater works, it's not that because he was relying on all of the things that he had in heaven. No. He came to live the way that you and I will have to live. That's why we can have a priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He says, I know what is going through, what you're going through. See, he wasn't saying that because he had everything that he had when he was in heaven. No, that's why he says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why? Because that's how he had to live. So when he's telling us that, he's not telling us that just to do it. He's telling us, this is how it's done. This is how you make it. That's why Jesus had to have the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized by John the Baptist, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him and rested in him. Why? Because he had to come the same way that you and I would have to come. And that's why when he gave the disciples the instructions as what to do, he knew they couldn't do it until they received the necessary power to be able to go out and to do it. Church, it's the same way with you and I. We have to have that power. We have to have. See, it's the power to do what we cannot do. You and I know the life that we live, to get free from that life, we couldn't do it by ourselves. Couldn't do it by ourselves. But a loving God says, listen, I've got a helper that's going to help you do it. I've got a helper that's going to help you do it. Church, are we in it together? But those are the works, is to get what's in us into the unbeliever, to cause the believer to know and to see the God that's where? In us. That's the work. That is, in fact, the work. But here's the thing. The Lord says, I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to change you so that you can change others. I'm going to change you so that you can change others. And we know that those that are truly changed seek to change others. Seek to change others. But here's the thing about it. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, once we receive that power, church is on. We have help now. See, the worst thing to have is an assignment and you don't have power to accomplish it. See, it's like somebody give you the job of a teacher and give you no tools, no resources, no supplies, and no students. Or even if you had the students, what do you have to work with? See, the Lord has given us an assignment. He has made us for the assignment, and he sent us for the assignment. But he said, now, you can't do it by yourself. I'm going to give you some help. See, I wouldn't give you the assignment and not give you what you need to get the assignment done. What kind of God is that? Whatever God requires of us, he makes it possible for us to do it. We just don't believe that we're able. We just don't believe that we're able. But he said, now, if he told you to do it, you can do it. But see, we just don't believe. That's why Jesus says all things are possible to them that believe. See, once we receive the helper with the power on the inside, we're equipped. Colossians lets us know that we're complete in Jesus, because in Jesus is the Father. The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is where? In us. And so we're complete. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in us. And so guess what? All the fullness of God rests in us. See, there is no more God to get. And the Lord is saying, now you're fully equipped. Let's go. You're fully equipped. Let's go. You're waiting for more. There is no more. You got everything. Come on now. Let's go. Let's get it on. See, I just need you to get going. Well, no. No. You know, you want me to share the gospel with these folks? No. Have you seen them? Have you heard them? He said, yeah. Yeah, you. Why? Because it's not really you. It's me in you. It's me that's in you. So here we go, church. We're working with this subtitle. To do the works of Christ, it requires a changed heart. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. It comes to change our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the power to change our hearts. It changes our hearts. And when the heart is changed, church, it makes it possible for us to accept why we're here, that I'm here for God's purpose, to be used by God. It also makes it possible for us to accept in our heart that we're the church and this is the work. It also is the power to cause us to be able to do the work. But the Lord gave us help to change our heart so that we can be, so that we can in fact do, and so that the Lord can use us. Listen, many of people, we know, even for us, we know that the only people that can help us in our situations and circumstances is God. Well, if we know that, then there are other people that don't know the Lord. They know that. But what they're looking for is, they're looking for help from God. And God has sent us to be used. And guess what, church? They're waiting. The problem is, we just don't believe it. They're waiting, and we just don't believe it. Are we together? But it requires a changed heart. We know that we have a changed heart when we know that the Lord is alive in our hearts. See, it's not possible for us to know the Lord, have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and not know that the Lord by his Spirit is alive in our hearts. Because he makes himself known. He's alive in our hearts. But when we know that he's alive in our hearts, we can trust in him with our whole heart. You know why? Because we have evidence. We have evidence. See, if we know that he's alive in our hearts, then we have some evidence that he has given us, because he told us what he was going to do, and then he did it, and it happened to us. And so now we have some evidence. And so we, you know, trust is based on evidence. See, when we want to trust something, show me some evidence. You know, I don't trust what you're showing me on television. See, because, see, that's a commercial. You're in control of the outcome. See, you just telling me if you just do this, do that, and just throw it in the oven for 10 minutes and it pops out like that. You just, you know, that's not evidence to me. But see, you and I have some show enough real evidence. So if we have show enough real evidence, guess what? We can trust him with our whole heart. We have trusted a lot of things that have produced a lot lesser evidence for us that we're trusting in. We're trusting in some things that we know have let us down, and we still trust. There are people that took our money and ran off. We sent them to the store to get some bread, and they came back with some cigarettes, some candy, and everything but the bread. But you still trust them. Are we together, church? Come on now. That's why the Lord said, he said, I will not leave you comfortless or without directions. I'm going to, there's a helper on the inside to do the work. We also understand that when we know that our heart has been changed, we believe with our whole hearts. We believe with our whole, church, believe. We have evidence, and it's real. Believe, we have evidence, and it's real. Here's the thing. John 16:9 says that, you know, sin, the Holy Spirit will convince the world of sin because of unbelief. You know what the Lord is telling us is that sin is caused by unbelief. What he's saying is that we disobey God just because we don't believe what he said. See, I just don't believe that I need to be in the fellowship of the saints on a consistent basis. And so I'm just not going to do that. See, it's because you don't believe what he said. And you don't believe what he said because I'm not sure you yet believe who he is, in spite of the evidence. Come on, church. Are we together? The Lord is saying the reason you won't follow my instructions is because you just don't believe. You don't believe what I said. Well, see, church, it's the same way we're going out and getting what's in us into the lost and sharing the good news. See, we don't believe it. We don't do it because we don't believe. Either we don't believe or we don't have the power. Well, if you don't have a power, we're not going to believe that anyway. But that's the issue. But he says, now, if you know that I'm alive in you and you have seen the truth of my word, I said what I was going to do and I did it, and you experienced it. See, not the one next to you, you. Come on now, you got real experience. And so now you should be living out of your real experience. Now we believe. Are we here together? And we should believe with our whole heart. And so, therefore, there is no doubt. That's where fear comes from, is doubt. Fear of rejection, fear of failure is because we doubt. Well, Pastor, I really don't want to share with people because they may reject me. They're not rejecting you. They're not rejecting you. You're not giving them your words, are you? You're not trying to get them in your heaven, are you? You're passing along this. You're passing along the good news. You're saying what he tells you to say. So they're not rejecting you necessarily. But that fear is caused by just unbelief. Just don't believe. I just can't believe that a holy God will use me. But you got evidence that he wants to use you. You have evidence that he loves you. You were once something else, and now you're something different. Come on, you have personal evidence. You know the word works to some extent because you're not who you used to be. You're not doing what you used to do. You don't go to the same places. You don't use the same language as much. But you know, at least not out loud. But we have confidence in him, and so therefore we have unshakable confidence in the things of God. You can't shake me up. I got show enough evidence in me. You can't shake me up. Listen, That's why I have boldness. That's why I have boldness. Boldness is not being loud. You know, it's loud and obnoxious. You know, sometimes when the saints come in and they think boldness is loud. You ever been around those saints? I can remember being in a fish restaurant and, you know, I was going in to, you know, get some fish. And I walked in and all this ruckus was going on. I said, man, who's making all this ruckus up here in the restaurant? I get up close to the counter and they say, hey, pastor. Well, it wasn't pastor, it was reverend. It was minister then, so I wasn't. So it wasn't none of you. You all know that. See, it wasn't nobody in here. See, I was up in Maryland. You know, and you all probably don't know. But it is, and they were turning the restaurant upside down because they wanted hot fries. You know, they were using, you know, I mean, they weren't using their names in terms derogatory, but they were just using the name. That's not bold. See, you're bold when nobody can back you down from what you believe as it relates to God. Not based on what you believe. Well, this is what I believe. Well, we're not into that. See, it's not about what I believe. It's about what I believe as it relates to what God said. See, my opinion is not important. Opinions are not all that important at all. What we need to know is what God said, because that's what God is backing up, and that's what is. And so we need to be bold in that, all right, and stand on that. And so that brings us to point number two. See, it requires a changed heart for us to do the works of Christ. And point number two, it desires a heart. Well, a changed heart is a heart that desires to be right with God. Let's put it that way. A changed heart is a heart that desires to be right with God. I desire to be right with God. John chapter number 14, are we there? Let's begin reading the verse number. We looked at verse 7, but we want to go back to this and come right back down. Let's jump into verse number 10. Now watch what Jesus says. Jesus says, now, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He's doing the works. He's doing the works. Now what Jesus is letting us know this, he said, now listen up, church. Listen up from the heart of Atlanta. And guests, visit. Listen up. He says, now listen. He said, now to do the works of Christ, he said, guess what? It's not you that's doing the work. It's he who dwells in you that's going to do the work. But you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to be right with God. See, your responsibility is righteousness. Now, if you get right with God, guess what? The one who's in you that's going to do the work can come through and do the work. Now, your responsibility is to get right and stay right with God. See, when we got saved, we were made the righteousness of God. See, we were sure enough sinners. But we heard the good news. All we had to do is to believe what Jesus had done for us. Believe it in our heart, confess with our mouth. We were made the righteousness of God at that very moment. We went from being a sinner to being not guilty, to being innocent. We were made right with him. Then what we have to do is go from that point and to abide in him, meaning to stay right with him. And that's all the Lord is saying to them. Listen. He said, you're going to do greater work. Greater works are going to be done through you. Just like greater works were done through me by my Father that was in me. But guess what? Now I'm in you. Me and the Father are in you by the same Spirit. Now, only thing you have to do is what? Get right. Stay right. That's your responsibility. That is our responsibility. Why? Because he said, now, if you take care of the responsibility, I'll do what I do. Don't worry about how I do that. I just do that. I don't have time to break it down, to explain it to you, to dot all the I's, cross all the T's. You just trust me. I do what I do. Because there's some things that you cannot do. You can't convince the sinner. You don't know how to convince. You really don't know what to say to fully persuade, but I know. Why? Because I know their heart. I know their heart. And I know the trigger points. I know where they're hurting. You don't. I know where they have come from. I know what they're going through right now. You don't. All I need you to do is get right and get out the way. That's our responsibility, is to not to hinder the greater works from being done. You know, like when you have the 40. Oh, y'all don't know, because this is a holy righteous church. We don't know about the 40 anymore. But see, you may have known some people. You know, it's like you drinking a 40, or you had a 40 breath trying to tell people about Jesus. See, you're hindering the work. You're hindering his work, because it's the work of a holy and a righteous God. But that's not what I'm, you know, you're hindering the work. See, you can't try to lead somebody to Christ that you're trying to sleep with. You're hindering the work. You can't lead people to Christ that you just cursed out. You're hindering the work. You cursed them out, then you want to tell them about Jesus. You're hindering the work. The Lord can change your life. Well. Come on now. Does he change cursing? See, you and I both are cursers. And I don't know. You know, what's the evidence? Because what righteousness does, it opens the channel through which he doeth the work. See, because righteousness is like a conduit. Well, it is the conduit through which the grace of God, or the omnipotent power of God, flows. And just as righteousness is a conduit through which grace, the omnipotent power of God, flows through, the favor of God flows through, unrighteousness is also a conduit. And through that conduit flows sin and death. And church, whenever we're doing our will versus God's will, is unrighteousness. Whenever we choose to do it our way versus God's way, is not the conduit of righteousness, it's the conduit of sin and death. And what's happening through that conduit of sin and death, something is being killed. The evidence is being killed. And whenever we're outside of the righteousness of God, there are things in our lives that are not as they ought to be, and we're not fruitful or productive. We think that we can get some things done, and things are happening in our lives, and it looks like things are moving, but I want you to know that if it's outside of the righteousness of God, it may look like it's alive now. But you have to rest assured, not many days, weeks, months, and it may even take years, it's not going to be what you thought it was. And the problem is that you're not going to be able to connect with what's going on weeks, months, and years later with the choice and the decision that you made earlier. And so we never attribute it to doing something that's outside of the righteousness of God. Church, there's a power to righteousness. Change doesn't happen without righteousness. We will not grow nor change or mature without righteousness. If we don't return to our first love for righteousness, we will not mature, there will be no change, and there will be no growth. See, there was a time when we heard the word of God, the voice of God, and we immediately ran out and did exactly what he said, but now we don't have the same fervor the energy, the zeal, nor the excitement. See, there was a time we needed to know what God had to think about anything. Anything. But now we can go days, weeks, months, years, and never consider what God thinks about it at all. We fell away from our first love for righteousness. And the power of God flows down through the conduit of righteousness. And what's happening to us is that things are not as they ought to be. We don't have that same zeal, fire, and excitement because we're outside of the righteousness of God. And that's why it becomes difficult to do the work of the church. We left our first love for righteousness. Because when we're right with God, the power of God begins to flow. The power of God begins to flow through our hearts. And there's a liveliness in our hearts. And it doesn't even matter what we're asked to do. We just do it. But see, if somebody asks us to do something and I have to consider and consider and consider, there's something with our righteousness with God. There's something wrong with the righteousness. And it has impacted our hearts. Are we together, church? But we have to have a heart that desires to be right with God. And a heart that's right with God is a heart that agrees with God's heart. See, when I have a desire for righteousness in my heart agrees with God's heart. See, it's not God agreeing with my heart. My heart agrees with his heart. And so what his desire is, my desire. See, what he wants is what I want. That's when we're right with God. His way is the way I want it done. If it takes me all around the barn and over Robin Hood's hill forest to Grandma's house, then that's the way I want it. Matter of fact, Lord, if you don't want me to have it, I don't want it. Are we yet together, church? See, we're talking about a heart that desires to be right with God. God is not obligated to do what we want. Matter of fact, that's why he tells us that when we pray, he said, now pray within my will. And when you pray within my will, guess what? I hear. And when I hear, you can rest assured I'm going to answer that prayer. That's why Jesus said, and the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done. Are we together, church? Because here's the thing. When we have God's word, we have his heart. Because out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth does what? Well, guess what? Out of the fullness of God's heart, he sent us this message. And it's a love letter. And he's telling us. He says, this is my heart. This is my heart towards you. My thoughts, my plans, and my desires for you. And what he says, that I have already determined some things for you. And it's for your good. And so, church, when we come into the Word of God, it's fine for us to go through the Bible in a year, and that's great, and we ought to do that type of thing. But see, at some point, we have to come back and slow down. See, because when we go into reading and study, what we're looking for is an impartation from our Heavenly Father. What that means is that he wants to speak to me about something specific. But if I'm just trying to get through a few chapters every day, I'm missing it. And he says, you have to come to me. No, no. See, I'm talking with you. I want to have fellowship and intimacy with you. He says, slow down. I'm in your tomorrows. You're crying today. And I'm in your tomorrows. I've seen where you come from. But guess what? I need to speak to you right now. Slow down. Slow down. He said, this is my heart. These are the words that are filling up my heart towards you. Now, unless you and I have some intimate time. I know you're hurting. I know what's coming up in your life. But guess what? I'm here. Slow down. Slow down. What that also lets us know this is that it's a heart that agrees with God's heart. And here's the thing is that when I'm in agreement with what God has to say, with what he has to do, and living the way that he would have me to live, that's when we're in agreement. And you know what happens when we're in agreement? We have peace. See, peace doesn't come from the outside. Peace comes from the inside when we agree with God. See, if I'm not doing what God told me, if I'm not saying what he would have me to say, doing what he would have me to do, and live the way he would have me to live, I have no peace. Is because there's a conflict between me and him that dwells in me. He's saying one thing, I'm saying something different. I'm doing one thing and he wants something else done. We're in conflict. There's no peace. But where there's righteousness, there's peace. And when we have peace, we make better decisions. What that lets us know is that we can't get to the right decision if somewhere in my life I'm not right with God. I made a decision, but it wasn't the right decision. Are we here together, church? But what he's saying is that let's get our hearts together. I want you to feel my heart. I know your heart. I want to feel your heart. And what happens when we're right with God? We produce fruit. We live a fruitful and productive life. You know what a fruitful, productive life is? God can use us to reach the lost. We're getting what's in us in the unbeliever, fruitful and productive. Are we yet together, church? And there's more that comes with that, and we'll share with that. We'll share that next Sunday. There's a lot more that comes with that fruit, but there's some good things that come with that fruit. Church, we can get to a point where we're right with God, and you don't want to come out of that position. You'll fight to stay in it. Just like we used to fight to stay away from God, when we get in that position, where we're truly right with God, we'll fight to stay in it. We'll fight to stay in it. We'll turn off some stuff, not listen to some stuff, not go some places, not do some things. Got to stay in this thing. You know, like when you used to get high, you didn't want anybody to bring you down from your high. Or y'all just heard about it. Y'all saw it on TV. Well, see, it's the same way with being right with God. There's something that happens, and there's something that's produced on the inside of you that's so good. That's why you forgive, because you don't want anything upset. Your righteousness. Amen. Well, church, my time is up this morning. I want to thank you for yours. God is, in fact, good. Church, when we're right with God, there's so much that comes with being right with God. The blessings come with being right with God. Here's the thing. God's help flows through righteousness. His help comes through righteousness. And so the only thing that we have to do is get right with him, and his help comes. His help comes. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that have been listening to the CD in these brief moments, we want you to know that God is, in fact, a God of change. And it begins with the changing of our hearts. He knows, he sees, and most of all, he cares. And he wants you to know that he has come down to see about you at this very moment, whereby you find yourself listening to the CD and just streaming over the internet. But nevertheless, he has reached out to you, and he wants you to know. He said, baby, I know. He said, baby, I see. And he says, baby, I care. You belong to me. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not an error. You're supposed to be here. And I want to intervene in your life. And I want to intervene in your situation and your circumstances. But the only way I can intervene in your life and in your circumstances, you have to place your faith in me. If you can believe that I sent my only begotten Son to live, to die, to be raised again from the dead on your behalf, to make sure that your sin debt was paid so that you wouldn't have to pay it, and so that you can, in fact, be made not guilty, and that you and I can be restored. He says, you know what? I can now intervene. I can now intervene in your situation, in your circumstance. And when I come in to intervene, I come in with all knowledge. There's nothing that you have to bring me up to speed on. I come in ready to go to work. You have a church right now that's praying for you, whereby if this message has spoken to your heart, that you would just cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to come into your heart and to save you, to change you, and to turn your life around. He's just waiting to hear those words, and he will do exactly as he said. We love you. We're praying for you. Please join us once again. Amen.